So this is part one of a two-part series, really, thinking about our next steps for us as a church going forward. And at times like these, some of us might be feeling excited about the possibilities ahead. Some of us might be feeling anxious about change, maybe cynical or disillusioned. Abe was telling me on the way in that a lot of people are really excited about next steps. Is that right, Abe?
Yeah, everyone's excited.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Everyone's excited. Yeah, okay, right, okay, excellent. Well, so that's great. So, this year, you might be aware that some of us in the staff team, the parish council, the wardens, and some other church leaders have been spending time, in term two particularly, we spent time thinking about where we're at as a church, where we've come from, and where we're going, and where we could be going over the next 3 to 5 years. And a few months ago, Abe left this little booklet on my desk that he found in his office. Has anyone seen this booklet before? Put your hand over if you've seen it. Okay, it's just showing your age, right? Yeah. This booklet was released is on Vision Day, the 16th of September, 2001. Now, that's a significant date for a number of reasons. That's the Sunday after 9/11, right? So that's a very interesting Sunday. I'm not sure how that would have taken place, that Vision Day, particularly on a day really after this century was changed quite significantly given those events. A reminder that our future is in God's hands and not ours. But as I was looking through this booklet, what struck me is how easy it would be for me just to simply cut and paste everything in here and put it into today's presentation. It's wonderful. There's some great things. It's sort of got some priorities here, making God number one in our life. We're going to be able to be seek to be more obedient as disciples of Jesus. The language is very similar to what we're doing now, and it's just excellent and a lot better numbers and metrics than I'm able to keep. So you can see some great graphs, and I'm not being very good at that. It's excellent stuff here, right? Even the title, Our Next Step Forward, it's been eerily similar to what we've been using this year. And I think, gee, you could read a document like this, and you could pick it up and maybe come to a presentation like today and maybe feel a little bit disillusioned or maybe cynical. Or perhaps you could be full of gratitude. You know, the cynic could say, well, you know, we've done this once, it didn't work, whatever that means. Or the grateful person could be saying, this is amazing how God has been faithful through these years, sustaining us and growing us in ways that we couldn't imagine. But this is the thing, when it comes to our church's mission, and when it comes to our church's vision, and come and tell me later on if you know the difference, because everyone has a different opinion what a mission statement is and a vision statement is. Either way, right, from a big picture perspective, they really shouldn't change. We're people who are saved by grace. We've always been on about seeing God glorified. We've always been on about having Jesus at the centre. We've always been on about seeking to have other people know Jesus and make Jesus known. We've always been on about making disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. So many ways for us to think about what are our next steps as a church, well, we kind of need to first of all remind ourselves what we're on about, because from a big picture perspective, not a lot has changed. From a big picture perspective, we did this at the beginning of the year, if you remember, although back in February and March, we did a series called Disciples, What on Earth Are We Doing? We looked at, over a number of weeks, the core activity of God's people while we wait for Jesus' return is to know Jesus, to make Jesus known, to see more and more people come to be followers of Jesus with their whole life. We want to be a growing community of people whose lives are transformed by and for Jesus. Now, that's a big picture thing, right? It's one thing to talk about the big picture. That's what we want to be doing. That's what we've always been keen to do. And we must never lose sight of that. But for most people, if you're anything like me, the question is often, but what does that look like on the ground? What does it look like day to day? And this is where we've spent a little bit of time thinking this year, and I wanted to share with you over today and next week and into the year ahead some of this thinking. And a great place for us to start to think about what it looks like on the ground is to look at this very first church and what it looked like on the ground, the church in Acts chapter 2. And what do we notice? There are a number of important things that we see in that description of the early church. From verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, it begins, hearing a message, coming under deep conviction, with a call then by the apostle to repent. Repent, be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those who accepted the message were baptized that day. About 3,000 were added to them. Church is what happens when people are forgiven by Jesus, when they repent, when they're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Church is formed not by us, but by the grace of God. It comes into existence by God's grace. The church is an act of God's grace. And then, because the church comes into existence by that, that doesn't mean that Christians are just passive. We see there in verse 42, they're not passive, they devote themselves to a bunch of things. Verse 42, they devoted themselves then to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. That is, they're devoted to God's word, they're devoted to the fellowship of God's people, they're devoted to having a living relationship with God through prayer. What else do we notice? Verse 44, all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. Notice they weren't just spiritually connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course they were, but they actually had a geographical connectedness. There was a radical kind of community. They were there together. And they would spend time together. They had a radical kind of service because they knew, being saved by God, that they were made by God, that they belonged to God, that their possessions, their things weren't theirs. They were given to them by God. And so as God's people, they were stewards of all they had, good stewards, and they gave to each other as they had need. And then we see every day, verse 46, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house every day. Every day. Like we, some of us might find it hard to get to church every week. This is every day. They would do things, and it wasn't just because they had nothing to do. They, by the grace of God, they were transformed by their identity as God's people, and they would meet together day by day in each other's house. They would eat their food with a joyful and humble attitude, see hearts that have changed, and they're praising God. And they have a favor with all the people. So they're not like in a monastery or some kind of, you know, isolated ghetto or isolated commune, something. They've actually got an interaction with the world, that they had favor with all people. And then we see every day the Lord added to them those who are being saved. God's church is growing, his hearts and lives are transformed for Jesus. Now, it's a wonderful picture. And if you just read that in isolation, it reads like really heaven on earth picture of the perfect church. And we know from our world, from history, even from the rest of the New Testament, that the Christian church was not perfect. Nor did it grow at the rate that it did on the day of Pentecost. In many ways, there are a bunch of unique features about that first church and its formation that are unique and unusual in the history of God's people. This isn't a prescription on exactly everything we should be doing, but what we do see here in this first church is a clear picture of what it looks like on the ground to be a people who know Jesus and seek to make him known. We see some of the different elements of what a healthy church looks like. When we were doing strategic planning earlier this year, we used this language of ecosystem. We found it quite a helpful piece of language to use. In biology, an ecosystem refers to a particular community of organisms and their interactions with their physical environment and how each interaction has its effect on each other. And so when we think of things in terms of ecosystems, we're thinking that things are more interrelated than just looking at the things by themselves in isolation. We don't simply, for example, fix the problem of, I don't know, the cane beetle that eats the sugar cane by saying, hey, hang on a sec, let's introduce the cane toad, because the cane toad can kill the cane beetle, problem solved. If anyone's been to Queensland, you'll realise that the problem wasn't solved by introducing the cane toad to Australia in the 1930s or whenever it was. It created a much bigger problem because the people who introduced the cane toad weren't thinking in terms of the ecosystem. They were having a very narrow view on a particular problem that needed to be solved. And because they weren't thinking in terms of the ecosystem, it created a whole bunch of other problems. The church is like an ecosystem, I think, in many ways. And when we think about the church in ecosystem thinking, we see that there are actually different aspects to the church that are all dependent and interact with each other. And when we look at the early church and the way that the church is described in the New Testament, we can see this kind of ecosystem at work. We could see those elements just in that passage from Acts chapter 2, the various elements that all need to be kind of growing for the church to be healthy. And there's a number of different ways that you could talk about what a healthy church looks like. This year, we've adopted in the strategic planning sessions and at parish council for the last few months, we've been working through with five elements of this ecosystem, five that you can see clearly on view in the early church. In fact, you could make an argument that we're finding it hard to make an argument against the fact that all five of these elements should exist inside any growing Christian as an individual, and any healthy church as a community. And for many of us, this might be the first time you've heard a church described this way that I'm about to share with you. And I want to acknowledge this is a framework that we are helping us think about the New Testament teaching about church, and a framework for us to think about how we can grow. And we'll be hearing a little bit more about it in next week and next year as we go forward. But I'd like to share with you a number of these elements. The first element is that a healthy church and a healthy disciple of Jesus is deep in God's word. That is, being hearers of God's word before being hearers of ourselves, being people who trust God and give God the authority over their life. That's the first element. But this is an ecosystem, so we're not ranking these, okay? These aren't being ranked. There's an ecosystem. They're all interrelated. So the first thing that we're talking about, a healthy church, a healthy disciple of Jesus, devoted to the apostles' teaching, as it was read in Acts, devoted to hearing God speak through his word, hearing God before we listen to ourselves, having him of the authority over our life. First element. The second element of the healthy church and the healthy disciple of Jesus is somebody who loves God deeply from the heart, expressed in prayer, expressed, as you saw in Acts chapter 2, in praise, genuine thanksgiving, confession. So we've got deep in God's word, loving God. Now let's just pause it there, and I want to tease out what I mean by this ecosystem kind of thinking. You could be here at St. Mark saying, I'm a Bible person. I just love the Bible. I'll come after the songs and I'll leave before the prayers. I just want to hear the Bible teaching. Give me Bible, give me Bible, give me Bible. I don't want to talk to anyone. Just give me the Bible, right? Now, that should sound like a bit of a caricature, and it is. You'd be a bit of a, let's say, a lopsided disciple if you were someone who just was interested in the Bible, 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 just tell me the verses, tell me the people, the characters, tell me how it all fits together, tell me, tell me, tell me. But you didn't really want to pray to God. You didn't really have a heart that loved God. You didn't have a sense of gratitude. That would be a lopsided disciple, wouldn't it? Or the flip side could be true. I just love God and I've always loved him. I just feel it in my inner being. I love God. Don't bring me that Bible stuff. I love God. Don't open the Bible. I love God. I just want to sing to the top of my lungs. I love God. Don't open the Bible. Don't read any Bible verses to me. Don't Bible bash me. I just love God. That would be a lopsided disciple as well, wouldn't it? You see the two things interact. Let's build another part of that ecosystem in community. We see that coming there as a healthy church and a healthy disciple of Jesus is part of a rich community. Not just theoretically, not just kind of in theory or even spiritually, which is true, but committed to one another in physical gatherings, knowing people, knowing each other's needs, not just in general, but actually knowing what's going on in each other's lives in a good way, a healthy way, how to love and support one another. Rich and deep in community. Now let's pause and look at what does ecosystem look like in that. You can imagine you're someone who loves coming to church because you hear the Bible taught. You love singing, you love times of praise, but get me out of there before I have to talk to anybody. That would be a lopsided picture of a healthy disciple of Jesus, a healthy church community. Or the flip side, I just love the community here at St. Mark's. The people are so nice. I'm counting the minutes until supper time where I can chat to people, get some food. I get through the talk bit. I get through the singing bit, the prayer bit. I just love the people. I just love the people. That would be a lopsided church, wouldn't it? You can see how the ecosystem working together. Let's add another layer there. We've got serving others. A healthy church, a healthy disciple of Jesus, one that shares... that seeks to serve others joyfully. Let's say that joyful attitude, seeking to see God's people built up, not seeking after their own needs, not seeking self-fulfillment by serving others, but genuinely seeking the good of others and not themselves. Again, let's work through that. Someone who loves the Bible, loves God, loves singing praise, loves praying from the heart, loves hanging out, supper. As soon as they're asked to volunteer for something, oh, sorry, I really can't do this. This church is for me, right? For me and my needs. I just don't have the capacity. I don't want to serve. I just want to be part of this community, singing, praising, hearing the Bible taught. But if I'm asked to help at all, then, you know, it's not for me. Again, another version of that would be, imagine coming and say, I feel like, you know, I owe it to God. I've got to get myself on a roster, otherwise I'm not part of St. Mark's. I'm not on a roster. Oh no, I'm not going to be accepted in this church until I'm on a roster. I don't care about the Bible teaching. I don't care about the singing. I don't care about the prayer. I just got to make sure I'm doing something, otherwise I'll feel guilty. I feel like I'm valuable if I'm serving and using my gifts. That would be a distorted church community, an unhealthy disciple. And then we've got the fifth and final one. A healthy church and a healthy disciple of Jesus is one that shares God's mission, shares God's heart for the lost, is one that actively seeks to see more and more people come to know and love Jesus. And I think this can sometimes be the area that drops off the radar in a church like ours. Not intentionally, but we can be a little bit Jonah-like. If you remember, you were here a few weeks ago and looked at Jonah. We can get preoccupied with our own circumstances and forget the last count was about 16,000 people who live within about 15 minutes drive from here, 10 to 15 minutes drive from here, that are lost without Jesus. We can be a distorted church if we think, hey, I love God's word, I love God, I love this community, I love serving others, but I've got no interest in anyone outside this church. Everything that I need is just here. That wouldn't be a healthy church. A healthy church shares God's heart for the lost. Well, these are the five elements that we've been thinking about. And there are other ways you can describe the church. I'm not saying these are the only ways. But we've been using these at the parish council meetings with the staff and various other things, and they've been quite helpful. as we've been putting them under kind of five purposes for us as we go forward, to be deep in God's word, to be people who love God richly, to be people in an authentic community, to be people who serve God, serve each other generously, who share God's heart on mission. I found this way quite helpful, breaking it down. And it is really a helpful way, I think, because I think it helps us to understand better the way in which we grow as a church. So we can talk about making and growing disciples, and that's absolutely true, but sometimes it's hard to know what that looks like on the ground. What does it look like to be a healthy church? And it's very helpful to diagnose potential growth areas for our church. Imagine you're in a home group, right? And I'll give you an example of what it might look like with this kind of ecosystem approach to thinking about church. Let's say you're in a home group and there are some members of your home group that are feeling like they're not being loved and supported by the wider church community. Maybe that's been raised. And maybe that gets raised and it comes back to me or to Abe or somebody. And what do we do with that pastoral reality? There's members in your home group who are not feeling loved and supported by the wider church. Well, one response would be to rally a few people to go and talk to these people who are feeling not loved and supported. Help them, you know, understand why they're not feeling loved and supported. And that, no doubt, could be very helpful, and it might address some of those concerns. But my suspicion, it might be only in the short term. If we had a more of an ecosystem mindset, the approach might be different. Rather than going direct to the presenting issue, which might be someone in your home group saying, I'm not feeling loved and supported. Okay, what are we going to do about that? Imagine a different scenario. Someone comes and says to me, there are members in my home group that aren't feeling loved and supported. And the next day, 3,000 people from Barara repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. They come from death to life. There's every chance that those people's concerns about not being loved and supported might flip because their mission heart has suddenly been warmed up to see what God is doing. You see how the ecosystem can affect things differently. Sometimes people not feeling loved and supported might be because we've grown cold to God's mission. The alternative can be just as true. If we're all on about evangelism, courses, walking up to people in the street telling about Jesus, but we're not loving each other as a community, our home groups aren't loving, we're not looking out for each other, it's unlikely we're going to have a church that anyone is going to want to be part of if we do tell them about Jesus. We can be on about mission, 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 and if we don't love each other, we're kidding ourselves. You see, that ecosystem thinking is a way for us to think about the whole and what it means for us to grow as a healthy church. Now, what I'd like to do now is to share a few concrete examples of some opportunities and priorities ahead of us for next year. I've got a picture there of the ecosystem kind of in visual terms. I don't know if that's helpful for you or not. I'm going to start with some of the areas that I'm going to go through each of them and talk about how in 2025 we're praying that God will grow us in these particular areas, and we'll be sharing some more of these next week. So first of all, deep in God's word, and this kind of goes without saying, but we're encouraging everybody who sees St. Mark's as their home church to see home groups as not, I don't want to say this, be taken the wrong way, but not like as an optional extra. In a sense that it's Sundays and home groups are kind of like two sides of the same coin for us at St. Mark's. We believe that people go deep in relationships, deep in God's word, when they spend time here together on Sundays hearing it, taught, and in a home group context where they can wrestle it out in their own lives. We'd love to see a higher percentage of our members part of a home group next year. And if you can't be in a home group, in the presenting ones that we are putting in front of people, we'd love you to let us know if you can't do that, because we'd love to make home groups available for people if there's a desire to be in one, but the timings just don't work out. The other thing we're trying to work at, and I've been talking to Jim Wright about this a little bit, is how can we make newer Christians or people who are still checking out the Christian faith or might have become Christian recently feel at home in a group where they don't feel intimidated by being around people who might have been very comfortable with talking Bible stuff for their whole life. And that can often be a barrier. Someone can find and hear the gospel, but find being in a home group after they've done their maybe their alpha course or those kind of initial course quite intimidating. How can we better help people and walk alongside people as they are trying to understand God's word? There are two things we would like to be doing in that area. In the loving God space, you might have been part of the first of our, for a while, our prayer and praise evenings. We're going to continue them next year, the first Wednesday night of each term, and we're hoping to build prayer into other elements of our gatherings. The point of those evenings is just not another event on your calendar. It's spending some extended time, not in the teaching mode, as valuable as that is and as central as that is, but in the mode where we are praising God and giving thanks to God and coming before Him. And my prayer is that those times will build a culture where more and more of us are feeling as if our culture is that we can praise God from our hearts in so many different ways. And one of the gifts of music and song is it allows us to do that. Serving others. We are keen next year to keep transitioning from what we're calling going from rosters to teams. Rosters are wonderfully efficient tools that can get a number of different tasks done by sending out a spreadsheet and getting people to sign up, and we've been doing them for a number of years, and we'll probably be using rosters for a long time to come in some form. But what we'd like to shift away from at the centre of our ministry and serving as a church is that rosters are not what defines how we serve here at St. Mark's, but more being part of a team, if that makes sense. A team is more, if you're a part of a team, you're more likely to serve in one area more of the time rather than 10 different areas, and it might be different each week. So rather than kind of saying, am I on the Bible reading roster this week? Okay, what's the passage? Okay, and next week I'm on I'm on the lawn mowing, so where's the lawnmower again? What do I do? How do I do this? You're kind of serving, but you're doing it because you're on a roster and someone's told you it needs to be done. Being part of a team is actually where, like a team, a sporting team, you've actually got a goal and a purpose in mind, and how can we do this better? So whether it's the tech team, if you're part of the tech team, you think, how can we do, not just, I'm on the sound this week, how can we do sound better each week? What do we need? What gear needs replacing? How can we make it more helpful for our volunteers? And one of the examples that we've done, which we'll talk about in a second, is the Connect team, which is moving away from being on a welcoming roster and part of a Connect team. But we'll come back to that in just a second. The other way we're going to encourage people to be serving next year, and this might sound an odd one, is to increase the numbers of the percentages of our members who are partnering financially. I've shared with you a few months ago that we crunched the numbers, and as best we could tell, there's probably about just over half of what we would call the regular adult members who would come along are partnering financially. We might be wrong on that, but just over half, somewhere like that. That's quite a low number for a church like ours. This is not just anyone who walks through the door, but we're saying about half the number of people who would think would be members of this church and see St. Mark's as their home church. Now, just to let you know, I don't know who partners financially, so this is not a judgment on anyone, but it's just acknowledging a trend that we've got about half our church members who are partnering, and we'd love to increase that to close to 100%. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that everybody is giving the same amount, but we'd like everyone to see a shared sense of responsibility. It's in the early church, the way they did with that, they just pooled all their resources and shared with what everyone had needs. Now, I'm not suggesting we all close down our bank accounts and put all our money into one account. You'll be glad to know, and I'd probably be in jail if I suggested that. But one of the ways that we do that in the contemporary church is we encourage people who see themselves as a member of the church to contribute, to partner with the work coming from your financial, the financial resources God has entrusted to you. So financial partnership, we'll be hearing about the budget next week and the particular goals we're having, but the initial goal is really encouraging as many people to partner financially as possible. If you haven't read the letter that I sent out, or if you didn't get it, there's printed copies in the foyer, and you can pick that up. You can chat to Jim, who's here up the front, if he's not going home with a cough, but you can chat to Jim, he's one of our wardens, or myself, or Jen Seymour, and the details are there if you've got any questions about financial partnership. In community, one of the teams that we've started is our new Connect team, and we've got Annette Wood there who's leading our 10 a.m. Connect team, and Felicity Harrison, who is one of the leaders of the Connect team, but there were two. I didn't have enough photos or a decent one of Ollie that I could put up. So it's Ollie, Felicity, and Jackie. Where's Jackie? There. You can speak to any of them. The idea of the Connect team is not like I'm on welcoming, as you might have noticed. It's actually a bigger goal. How can we at St. Mark's at 6 p.m. make our gatherings as inviting, as easy as possible, particularly for people who are coming for the first time or feel disconnected? And you might notice things like signage, not taking things for granted that people just know what to do and where to go. And if you'd like to be part of that team, Felicity, Ollie, or Jackie would love to hear from you and what that involves. It's an exciting ministry, and we've been testing it for the last couple of weeks, and it's just been great to see that team going. The other ministry that we're getting started in about February next year is, if you know Nicole, who goes to our 8 a.m. congregation, she is kindly giving some time next year to help us think through care ministry, or what used to be called the pastoral care ministry. And this is, she'll be beginning with the 8 a.m. congregation. And the purpose of this is not to do the pastoral care at St. Mark's. The best way for that to happen is to be in a home group. And I encourage, again, you to be in a home group if you'd like to be cared for and you'd like to care for others. But I know that it's not always practical for every single person, and sometimes the needs go bigger than home groups. And so Nicole will be helping us keep track of the various pastoral care needs across the church as we grow. Sometimes it's easy for people to feel like they've just been forgotten if they have a particular need that they don't know if people are praying for, or things like that. Nicole will be helping us develop some systems in that place. She won't be doing it, so don't just throw everything her way, but she will be beginning with the 8 a.m. congregation, helping us develop that ministry. Fifthly, we've got mission. As far as we know, wonderful things are happening in the last couple of years at our church. Wonderful things. We've got Brian, who is up there, who we heard from last week. He's here in the flesh this week. You heard his testimony as he came to know Jesus earlier this year. Go and say hi to Brian afterwards. A wonderful example of God's grace. As a church, God kindly brings people from time to time to come forward and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus, and that's a wonderful thing. We'd like to see that happen a lot more, and we'd like to see some more intentional resources being put into encouraging more and more people to feel comfortable to explore Jesus, ask their questions, make commitments of faith. And at our weekend away, next year at One Away, we're going to be thinking about the heart of God and how we can share that and what it might look like. Dave Jensen's going to be helping us think through that. But we're also really excited that Annette Tenkate has agreed to start a new team called the Local Mission Team. She's been part of the Mission Partners team, which has been more focused on the work of God's work outside Barara and around the world with various organisations. And Annette is going to help us think through what it might look like for us as a church to be on about regularly building into our culture, into our calendar, into our events and programs, regular opportunities for people to explore Jesus, to make commitments of faith, and then to find their way into our church community to find a home, to grow as a disciple of Jesus, deep in God's word, loving God, serving God, all those things that we've been looking at. And you can chat to Annette if you're keen to be part of that team next year. That would be a very exciting ministry. They're all really exciting. That's enough for tonight. We've got a whole part two next week, and we'll be hearing a few more things. But I do commend those to you. There's a number of next steps in there, whether it's joining a home group, whether it's a financial partnership, whether it's thinking about what team you could be part of, signing up for the weekend away, thinking about what part you might play. But I'm going to commit these things to God now, and then we're going to sing together. Father, we give you great thanks that in your goodness, you didn't leave us lost and abandoned. You showed us the light of life in your Son, Jesus. And Father, we ask that you will help us to be a church which shares your heart for the lost. We ask that in 2025, you'll be stoking those fires, so much so that we are radiating the love of Jesus to Barara and surround with a joy, and we see many people come to know you. We pray that we'll be an authentic community, a rich community, welcoming, connecting new members in, caring practically for people's needs, supporting each other in prayer. We pray that we'll see many more financial partners from our members. We pray that we'll serve others, not just because we're on a roster, but because we love each other and we love your church. We ask that you'll be forming new teams that work alongside each other, spurring each other on to serve your purposes here at St. Mark's. We pray that you'll help us to be a community that is overflowing with a love for you and a praise for you, healthy prayer lives. And Father, we ask that you'll help us to be dependent on you, hearers of your word, grounded in your word. We ask that you'll help us not to find our authority in things outside your word. We ask that your word will shape our whole lives. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
This song is a new one for